Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Final hour of the program. Delighted to have you with us. Thanks for carving out part of your holiday weekend with us. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. First touch in Qatar. It's go time. United States and England, yeah! World Cup competition underway. If there's a goal, I'll let you know. That is my holiday gift to you. But I can't destroy the program. Plus, I'm sure consultants would say, my man, you got to play the hits. Got to stick with the National Football League. And we'll do that not only with another compelling monologue. We've been going game by game. Three watchable matchups yesterday. What a departure on Thanksgiving Day. So already pass along takeaways from the Cowboys' latest victory over the Giants, who are fading. But remember, the Giants are ahead of schedule. Detroit finding a way to go Detroit. Buffalo with a significant win. They just had to find the path forward in that matchup. They got it done. I've not weighed in too heavily on Minnesota and New England. We will approach that game coming up and dig deeper into Sunday's matchups. Already talked about Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my thumb is broken. Jam my nose. Coming up with the Packers on the road in Philadelphia on Sunday, we've talked about the Titans and the Bengals. We will go through a few more compelling matchups. In all candor, we have reached the part of the season where we're getting separation in the standings with some less than stellar games. Still, it's football we'll watch. So Josh Alper, ProFootballTalk.com, joins us in 40 minutes as we take you across the National Football League. 20 minutes, I'll get back to the college football, going through a few more scenarios. I appreciated the endorsement from Chip Patterson of CBSSports.com. CBS Sports HQ joined us to wrap up the last hour of the program. Clemson still has a viable road into the playoff, but I'll go through some other wrinkles you may be overlooking. And it's a formula I think is successful. No one has told me otherwise, other than your tweets. And more of those are coming up at BW Weber. Weber with two B's. You got 40 minutes to place a phone call that Tom thinks is good. 1-800-636-8686. ATP Friday. Last call for those thoughts. Emails, RomanHaveATake.com. Your interaction in 20 minutes. Among them, a huge tweet brought to you by Omega Accounting Solutions. Calling all small business owners who paid employee wages during COVID. You may have overpaid on your payroll taxes, could be eligible to receive a refund of up to $26,000 per employee. $26,000, that's real cash, especially during the holidays. To schedule your free ERC consultation, call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000, 800-704-2000, or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com. I've not been avoiding Minnesota and New England. In fact, that was another good watch. Maybe I'm just angry because I couldn't go to sleep. Now, yes, I need your support. Uncle Brian had to push it until the end of that game. Push it real good. Another reason why I'm never going back to the East Coast. Rit woke up for that one. We're Spinderella when you need her on the wheels of steel. I cannot fathom, and I spent my formative years there. How do you people stay up for the last game on Thanksgiving or Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football, and then go to work? I love your passion. Well, after all, you are the reason I have a career because of our intense connection to sports. But I kept telling myself I want to go to bed, but I got to watch the game, right? Although, as an aside, I think we have a sophisticated audience. You can tell who's watching games, right? Based on who's just watching the highlights, because, for example, that Lions 3rd-and-1 play I was talking about, I also watched the highlights to make sure I haven't missed anything. Didn't see that on NFL.com. So as I'm watching that game last night, waiting for finality, and I wait all the way inside 3 minutes, I will give the Vikings a degree of credit for bouncing back. Nevertheless, Are you really embracing the Patriots? And I don't have to go full Denny Green. Aren't the Patriots exactly who they were a year ago? Other than Mac Jones had regressed mightily. Mac Jones to start this year with no help, absolutely professional hubris. There's your big word on Friday. Arrogance, myopic confidence from Bill Belichick to say, I don't need coordinators. No, I can't hear you because I have all these rings in my ear. After Mac got the most out of his game, I think with the partnership with Josh McDaniels, who has imploded in Vegas, and I'm not endorsing Josh McDaniels as a head coach. I'm just saying as a coordinator, as a play caller, he's respected, and I think he maximized what Mac is capable of for 80% of last year. Then Mac fell apart down the stretch, and you saw how abysmal he was in the postseason. Well, what happened this year? He got no support from the dream team of Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. And as I'm watching the Lions play yesterday, it occurred to me, why did Jim Caldwell get fired again? Just going to pose that question. Jim Caldwell did not win enough in Detroit? How did Matt Patricia work out? How is Dan Campbell looking with his master of tactical football?
There's no turds here.
Knowledge being displayed down the stretch. That's an aside. So for Mac Jones to go off the way he did last night, putting up monster numbers, to me that speaks more to the weaknesses of the Minnesota defense than somehow the Patriots having this grand awakening. Because if the Patriots are going to win, and I do think they're still going to make the playoffs, and we'll run through where things stand amongst the AFC wild card, always reminding myself we got the additional wild card and the longer regular season, so all of the sensibilities we had in the past have to be revised. Not that hard, but you just got to remind yourself, oh yeah, there's a week 18, and they play in January now, but after all, it is my occupation. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, 1-800-636-8686. ATP coming up in less than 20 minutes. Emails, RomanAvatake.com. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. If the Patriots are going to have any success, it's going to be derived from what they did last year and what they did for the majority of this season. Rely on their defense. Well, where was the defense yesterday? Now, there's a challenge facing Minnesota indoors. And we know even though Kirk Cousins is typically allergic to playing after the traditional 1 o'clock window, he can show up, flip a coin 100 times, and some things will happen. It's just the law of probability. And he's got phenomenal playmakers. I mean, just think about what's going on every time he drops back to pass, and you can go to Justin Jefferson, something positive is going to happen. Already, the best start we've ever seen in terms of receiving yardage for a player in his first 3 years, smashing the record set by Randy Moss. And we got a ton of football left in the regular season this year, and it was Adam Thielen on the business end of what proved to be the winning score in that 33-26 game last night. But I cannot divorce myself of watching Kirk Cousins play many times over the years, and we know Minnesota's going to win the division, barring a collapse like we saw from Pittsburgh a couple years ago, Arizona last year. Let's just give Minnesota the division. With that, they are in the right to host a playoff game. Are you riding with Kirk Cousins, even with Kevin O'Connor being in there and not having that adversarial relationship like Mike Zimmer, who clearly just could not stand Cousins? O'Connell is only 37, understands the position, not only shined at San Diego State, played in the NFL. I've never seen anyone more relaxed than KOC, as the kids call him, than what we saw from Kevin last night with that in-game interview. Looked like he was just going to hang out with Melissa Stark for another 5 minutes. Like, you know, coach, you got to go back to the sideline. Right temperament, because Cousins runs hot. You like that. You like that. But ultimately, Kirk Cousins is just a guy. And I don't want to be that simplistic to say best quarterback wins. There's a lot of dudes on the field. I understand there's a degree of strategy that really matters and execution and all of the parts being cohesive. But we have seen enough from Kirk Cousins over the years, just like Mike McCarthy has let down a variety of teams, that I cannot fully buy into Minnesota, despite the fact they have a 9-2 start. Okay, wonderful foundation. Let's see come playoff time. And I know my responsibility is to give you sweeping summaries and referendums on everything and never change my mind because then I'm a flip-flopper. Well, I don't know and you don't know. It's only November. Hopefully I'm back the end of December and we'll have more clarity and we'll talk about it then. But I've seen enough from Minnesota understanding that it's not only a Cousins issue because when they were at the top of the hype machine with that amazing game against Buffalo, might have been the most entertaining game I've seen other than the Rams and Chiefs on the Monday night here in Southern California. The game moved from Mexico City. To me, that was more aesthetically pleasing because it was a shootout and there was a lot of fluky things in the Minnesota Buffalo conclusion, especially the fumble by Josh Allen, taking nothing away from that game. Magnificent game. Unbelievable red zone experience. That said, when Minnesota was at the top of Mount hype, if you looked at the numbers, and I was trying to come up with explanations as to why they had the fast start, and again, I'm not an accountant, but Kirk Cousins' numbers at that stage of the season, that was only two games ago, slightly lower than the similar point last year. So it wasn't like he was playing out of his mind. Now we get caught up in the hysteria of that Jefferson catch on the fourth and forever, and the highlight age in which we live. I'm just telling you, Minnesota is not that much better than they were last year. What is going on is the massive collapse of the Packers within that division. It's now Minnesota moving into the lead position that for years we've been accustomed to having Green Bay in that slot. Let's find out what Kirk Cousins can do come playoff time. There's where I'm at currently. I'm not going to give you any idea that I believe in him just because he had a good game last night against, in fairness, a very good New England defense, number two in a lot of the metrics. But if we're going through the teams in the NFC, and I don't want to waste more time on the Patriots because I think they're relevant. I think they will hang on and be a wild card. Okay, they'll get abused in the opening round of the postseason depending on the matchup. But if I need to commit to a team in the NFC, right now, it's a 6-4 football team, the San Francisco 49ers. Because of their balance, because of the depth of defense, because of the addition of Christian McCaffrey, say it with me. If Alvin was here, I know that button would be pushed. F them picks. My favorite part of that is the uptick, right? Because most of us would say F them picks. F them picks. Sneed, though, has the F them picks. Almost sounds like a question. I'm Ron Burgundy. It's a weird delivery. San Francisco followed the Rams playbook. And undeniably, it made sense at the time. And they found a Carolina team giving millions of dollars to Matt Rhule to get him out of the facility and giving away their best player. And if you're just watching the Niners, think about how much more fluidity you're seeing, and I'm not trying to pretend I'm breaking down the all 22. Never went to NFL Films in Cherry Hills, New Jersey during my brief tenure with the network. But I watch, and I enjoy thinking I'm an amateur play caller, right? Because we're all delusional. However you view Kyle Shanahan, put it this way, you don't want him calling your plays with a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. And he didn't do any wonders as the head coach of the Niners in the big game against Kansas City either. But just watching on a weekly basis, it's fun to check out what the Niners are doing. There's a lot going on. I like motion. I like the schematics. And McCaffrey can do everything. So if you're looking for reasons to believe San Francisco is for real, they're going to win that division. Jimmy Garoppolo could burn you in a high leverage spot. But I think if you're paying attention, they're asking him to do even less. And should they make it back to the Super Bowl or even the NFC title game for the second consecutive year, think about how astonishing that sequence of events would be. In the summer, when I was here for Jim, how much time did we spend on two topics? Where is Baker Mayfield going? And where is Jimmy Garoppolo going? Does Baker Mayfield still play professional football? Oh, yeah, he plays in Carolina.
I'm going to bleep.
That's in the CFL, right? Remember when the CFL had the Sacramento Gold Rush, whatever the hell it was? That's how irrelevant the Panthers have become. And Baker is in the witness relocation program. I have not thought of him once. And that's the amount of thought he deserves. I can't believe how much time I spent breaking down the conditional pick. We'll be a fourth-round pick. We'll be a fifth-round pick. Completely out of sight, out of mind. But Garoppolo was left for dead even more than Baker. The Niners couldn't even be bothered to trade him in August. They just said, go do your thing, my man. They even gave him a playbook, according to reports, because they were concerned he was going to move on to potentially Seattle, and they didn't want him to have full command of the offense. So he was embarrassed when the Niners went all in to get Trey Lance. He had what little pride, although he seems like a chill dude. But if you have an ego, to have your pride shredded even further when it's, hey, Jimmy, we'll figure it out. Maybe we release you. Maybe we trade you. Don't worry about it, my man. Thanks for being a part of the Super Bowl and NFC title game runs. And then Trey Lance gets hurt and everything changes. It is just remarkable. So while I have massive reservations about Garoppolo, I don't think this team is that dependent on him. Sure, he can mess up in a major way. But if I have to give you right now, before it's even December, with still no score between the United States and England, 17th minute, you're caught up from Qatar. I'm riding with the Niners, and if I'm lucky enough to be back final week of December, we will burn the tape, and I'll come up with something that sounds much more in the moment. 25 minutes from now, we take you across the NFL with Josh Alper from Pro Football Talk. Straight ahead, more interaction. The ATP will be revealed. I might have to break down what I'm seeing from the United States. Not loving the possession approach so far, especially in that middle third. Ritt is saying, got to get to that offensive third. Got to work down that right channel. Got to look for the set pieces. Who's been marked 1v1 with a service in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box? More college football. We're going to 12 teams. That is a finality. It's only a matter of timing if they can figure out the logistics. So when we get there, how much intrigue and drama are we giving up in college football as I'm going through more of the scenarios on this rivalry sounding it out weekend? I'm Brian Weber. Best is yet to come. 40 more minutes along the way. In for the Hall of Famer, Jim Rome. I appreciate you spending part of your Black Friday with us on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you. Winding down, but still a lot to get to. Conversation never stops on Twitter. So, when we say goodbye at the top of the hour, and always a delight to be in for Jim, Hall of Famer, enjoying a well-deserved long holiday weekend. Jim, back with you on Monday. You can continue to send your thoughts on Twitter. I'm told it's still working. There was a thought that it would be the crush of social media interaction connected to the World Cup that would bring it down. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Updating what's happening in Qatar with the United States and England. Still scoreless, 25th minute. I'll keep you posted. There's your soccer update. In 15 minutes, we go across the NFL with a good friend of mine, Josh Alper from Pro Football Talk. Coming up, more college football. Now it's time to answer your Ask the Pros question. You, the clones, got to submit a question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it's an ATP, you guessed it, Bella B in Calgary. Hi, Brian. Have you ever met your idol? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary. Can I take the audience behind the curtain? I've never met Jim Rome. Now, think about it intuitively. I'm only here when he's not here. Right? When would we be hanging out? We did have a brief conversation, and I think this was more of a COVID derivative. Remember, folks, when Jim had to leave the program and I hosted the final hour when he had to fly to Tampa? He mentioned he'd only left the show once previously, I believe for the birth of Logan. Rogan Loam, 17 years ago. So I'm in a very small, elite group. Not that I have anything to do with the family. So I only spoke to Jim that day. But remember, he had to be COVID clean because he had to get into the Super Bowl. And the staff, understandably, was very concerned. Probably also trying to keep me away from Jim, knowing my limitations. So Jim was at the end of the hallway. He was kind enough to say, thank you, Brian. I said, thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure. And he was in the car. So I've never met Jim. In terms of idols, I've mentioned this before, and I'm sure he would not want to hear this, but the reason I am a broadcaster is the United States remains scoreless with England, as I'm multitasking, comes down to two guys. My idols growing up were Jim Lampley, I think among the most gifted broadcasters in any part of the profession. If you love boxing, or even just crisp play-by-play.
Bang! Bang!
Bang. Lampley calling boxing HBO. Lampley could string words together in the midst of a play-by-play call, and it would sound like he's reading from a book. That's how hyper-articulate Jim was. Plus, I used to have giant bouffant hair, like Jim, and a little bit of Ted Koppel with levels, like the Bob's Big Boy anecdote we've told. So, Lampley used to fill in for Jim, and Bob Costas were my guys. I met Bob briefly in San Francisco. After the earthquake, he happened to be in town for the World Series. I was lucky enough to have an internship for the Today Show. And based on that relationship, when I was going to college in the Bay Area, they called me and said, we need runners. We need PAs, because they did the show for a week from San Francisco in the wake of the earthquake. And I met Bob there, and he could not have been nicer. And let's see, I'm 20. I look 13. I sound 7. Hey, Bob, how you doing? I told him what I wanted to do, and he was so supportive. So when they say, don't meet your idols, that's not true. I'll give you one more brush with greatness. Michael Keaton, one of my top five actors. Love Michael Keaton. I'm going old school, gung-ho, old school, Johnny Dangerously, old school, Mr. Mom, 220, 221, whatever it takes. And then think about the transformation. Clean and Sober is a dark movie, man. The Presidio. Forget about all the Batman stuff. Presidio. Any movie set in San Francisco, I'm watching. He is a wonderful villain. So at one of the watering holes in the area in which I live, I happened to stand next to Michael Keaton. And I didn't want to bother him. And I just read a piece. It was when he was promoting Birdman, another phenomenal movie. And he said he made a conscious decision along the way. He didn't want to be cast as the glib young man. And he started turning down roles. Now, he had made enough money on all of the films I threw out there. Night Moves, Night Shift. Come on. Da, 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 da. Note to self. What if you fed the mayonnaise directly to the tuna? Call Starkist. The Fonz as a nerd. So he's doing all that, and he had the background in stand-up, but he wanted to cross over into drama. And he said he was one of these folks who believed in mantras. He wrote down, stop being the glib young man. And that really resonated with me because, hell, I'm in my early 50s, and I'm still the glib old man. And I waited for my moment. I said, Mr. Keaton, I just want to tell you how much I admire you. And he said, thank you. I said, your quote in Esquire really resonated with me. How did you stop being the glib young man? He said, I refuse to take the roles. I said, okay. So I said, how'd you do it in real life? He said, I didn't. Acting. And then I knew, and this is not my strong suit, I knew it was time to leave. I did the Costanza, good night, everybody, because part of me wanted to go, you know, I do Pac-12 soccer, so let's talk about how things play out in the World Cup. All right, that was a long ATP. But you asked me a question, Bella, about my favorite topic. I'm going to give you some ideas. Still no score, United States and England, 31st minute, as now I'm back to my weekend talk show host skills of multitasking.
I love when you talk hockey.
Couple minutes on college football, and I will be concise here because I want to have plenty of time for my NFL conversation with Josh Alper, ProFootballTalk.com. So I will channel my inner Larry King. What do we know? What are the firm takeaways that we can offer in college football? Now, there are so many different scenarios we could throw out there. Like, what if Georgia loses to LSU? Answer is, LSU is in, even with two losses. Heck, and I'm not just trying to be facetious, a five-loss SEC champion would get in. And that's hyperbole, but you get the point I'm making. SEC champion will always be in. And I do think there's less separation between Georgia and everybody else than the committee has been saying in that terrible TV show on Tuesday nights. All that is justification to try to get a rating and gin up more controversy. And I do believe that committee, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist guy, has an agenda. They come with perceptions, and then they back their way into the numbers that make sense. And that's the only way you can justify LSU currently being ahead of USC at number 5, but it'll all sort itself out. So Georgia, I think, wins out. That's Georgia Tech and LSU. I think Ohio State, remember, they're roughly an 8-point favorite tomorrow at home with plenty of motivation trying to get payback from the loss to Michigan last year. They win, probably defeat Iowa, if Iowa can handle Nebraska. So Ohio State is in. Big Ten champs. I'm telling you, do not sleep on Iowa State taking on TCU for these reasons. Matt Campbell, heck of a coach. You don't hear him connected to NFL openings that much anymore because his team has struggled. 4-7, 6 of those 7 losses by a touchdown or less. 3 consecutive wins head-to-head over TCU. Cyclones defense, better than you think. Only giving up 16 points a game. So I'm going to knock TCU out. And it's better if they lose in the Big 12 title game in terms of my argument here. But I'm going to have them lose tomorrow and then bounce back in the Big 12 championship game. One loss TCU out of the mix. For the sake of this exercise, even though I think Notre Dame's going to win tomorrow, I'll play it out with USC victorious tomorrow and beating Oregon in the Pac-12 title game they're in. So that's 3/4 of the field. What do we do with that last spot? And I think we get back to Clemson. Here's where things get interesting. What if Georgia LSU is a game of the century kind of matchup? LSU squeaks past Georgia. Overtime field goal. LSU is in. This is when the committee can use its SEC agenda and put in a one-loss Georgia at the expense of other quality candidates. So this is why I love college football so much. This is the best time of the year because I didn't even go through the thermonuclear scenarios. There are so many different compelling ways things could play out. It remains scoreless, 0-0. England, United States, 35th minute. You're fully caught up. Straight ahead, we wrap up the program talking NFL as Odell Beckham Jr. gets ready to meet with his potential suitors. Which team would be the best fit? We'll check in with Josh Alper from Pro Football Talk. Now it's time for a sports update. Here's Seth Canter. Brian Weber back with you. I am winding down. That means Jim Rome is warming up. Back with you on Monday. Only have to deal with me for another 20 minutes, and I've got help. Always a pleasure to talk NFL with my good friend Josh Alper from Pro Football Talk. Josh, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. How are you?
Terrific. Hope you had a good day, too.
Everything is cool, my man. Let's start with some of the takeaways from yesterday. So, Bills, thrilling victory over the Lions. And I read your summary of the game on ProFootballTalk.com. I thought you raised a good point, so I'll let you expand on things. Josh Allen was sharp in that game-winning drive that led to the field goal. But just as a viewer at home, how did his elbow look to you? Did you see any potential impact throughout the game?
There did seem to be some times where the ball didn't have the right zip, where he looked a little bit unsure, uncomfortable about some passes, particularly to Diggs. And I think that the last couple of series, I think he just realized he had to trust it and go to him. And you know, Diggs had three catches and then all of a sudden had five huge catches in the final two drives, and the Bills win the game. I think there's a little bit of a sense of he doesn't fully trust it. He doesn't fully know what he's got there. And there definitely seemed to be throws over the afternoon that were off. But yeah, I mean, when you can win on a day like that in a, you know, on the road in a situation like that, second game in 5 days, I think that winds up looming larger. But I'm sure they'd like to see him back to 100%. But he still obviously got the job done.
So as you alluded to, now back-to-back wins achieved by the Bills after the collapse against Minnesota and loss to the Jets. Do you view Buffalo any differently now than you did a month ago prior to the slate of action?
Let's find out what the Von Miller injury looks like. I think that, to me, is the biggest question right now. I thought the offensive line play was not good yesterday. And so, you know, the Deion Dawkins injury, center Mitch Morris was out yesterday. Those things are significant. But to win in the AFC, at some point you're going to have to beat the Chiefs. And you're not beating them without a robust pass rush. So the Von Miller thing is the biggest for me. I think there have been a lot of other injuries in Buffalo, Micah Hyde and other guys being out, but the Von Miller one would change things for me, yeah.
I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, talking NFL with Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. Lions probably should have won that game, missed the field goal, which was incredible with the Jim Nantz jinx. Throw a safety in, they still had a shot. Had they won the game, it would have been four consecutive victories. Josh, as you were watching in real time, what'd you make of Dan Campbell's clock management on that last possession and the play call to throw it deep on third and one?
The clock management at the end of both halves was subpar. That's something they're going to have to improve on. They're not good enough to give things away there. I'm not sure that they, that cost them the game, but it's something you got to be better on. I didn't mind the play call. You would have liked to have seen it that if you're going to wind up being comfortable kicking the field goal, that you go ahead and kick it on the final play of regulation. But the team was going for it on fourth downs and succeeding. It's kind of their mentality. I thought the play was there. Whether it was a miscommunication between Chark and Goff or just a throw that wasn't quite there, I don't know. I didn't mind that one as much. I don't mind going out and trying to win the game. But, I think maybe you save that one for a first down after, converting a short run or something like that.
Let's move on to the Cowboys, piling up over 400 yards of total offense to beat the Giants. Dallas now has won four of the last five. They lost the collapse on the road in Green Bay. Josh, where would you slot Dallas amongst the premier teams in the NFC?
After they beat Minnesota, I think if they can't beat the Eagles, then they can't be slotted at the top. But I think of the teams that aren't the Eagles right now, I think they're the ones that they're among the more appealing ones. That defense is really good. The offense has been, generally speaking, the first half was rough yesterday, but generally speaking, has been much better since Prescott's been back. And I think that when you look at that depth, the 49ers, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, the Buccaneers, the Commanders. You're going to still put the Commanders and the Giants in there. I think they're cut above the other two teams in their division, and about equal with the 49ers as the team behind the Eagles.
Taking you across the NFL with Josh Alper. Check out his great work at ProFootballTalk.com. So I saw on the website you had the reports. Odell Beckham Jr. planning on visiting Bills, Cowboys, and the Giants. Do you think it's virtually a done deal he's going to Dallas, or could there be more to that story?
I think there's more to it because I think there's, you know, there really is still a question of how much are you going to be making this deal for the end of this year and how much is it going to be for next year? Because we know that's what Beckham is looking for. He's not looking for a deal for six games. He wants a deal for next year. He wants that squared away so that he comes back and something does happen. You know, you're not going through this cycle over and over again. I think it makes a lot of sense for the Cowboys to be involved in that too. I think if you can get him at a relative discount for next year, that would be a really strong move for them. And I think they're the team. I think the Bills would have good use for him now. I just think they're a team that it's a little bit harder to look at what's beyond this year because they've gone so all in on this year. And I think they're going to have some decisions to make about who gets to come back and who can stick around because they made so many big moves to go for it this year. I think that Dallas is the one that makes the most sense to me for both player and team. So I do think that's where he winds up.
I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. We're talking NFL with Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. Nightcap saw Minnesota bouncing back from getting destroyed by Dallas. Josh, overall, did that game last night in Minneapolis tell you more about New England or Minnesota?
Well, I think it said some good things about both teams. I think for the Eagles, you know, that there is that always that Kirk Cousins playing in primetime thing. There's, you know, these big standalone games and how they never seem to answer the bell. And last week against the Cowboys is right on the top of that list, obviously. So I think it was a good show for them when the Patriots came out. Their offense looked, you know, light years ahead of the one we saw against the Jets last week. And to win a game like that by making plays in special teams, by taking advantage of, you know, of the opportunities that were there for you offensively and, you know, just letting Justin Jefferson be Justin Jefferson, I think that was a good sign for them. And I thought there was, you know, as I said, a lot of offensive growth for the Patriots in the course of a week.
Let's wrap it up with a marquee game coming up on Sunday. Cincinnati with Ja'Marr Chase back on the practice field, healing quickly from the hip injury on the road to Tennessee. Josh, irrespective of the outcome of that game, and I remember the Titans were the top seed in the AFC last year in the postseason, do you think we should be talking more about what Tennessee's achieved with their 7-3 start after they opened the year at 0-2?
Well, I think, yes. I think they've been a little bit overlooked in the AFC because of how many teams got off to those better starts and sort of implanted themselves in their mind. And then you had those games without Tannehill where the offense looked, you know, like something out of the 1930s. And you know, these last couple of weeks, they don't win pretty. And there obviously aren't style points in the standings, but there are for when you – think about what teams you think can win a game. Can they come from behind against a good team? Can they do the things in the playoffs you need to do? I think that's still the part with the Titans that's the slipping point after what happened to the Bengals last year. So, you know, a win here I think would be a good step in the direction of reestablishing themselves that way. But, you know, quite frankly, I think Mike Vrabel's just fine with everybody talking about other teams and his just keeps chugging along.
Josh, always a pleasure. I appreciate the insights and your availability on a holiday weekend. Enjoy the rest of the holidays, and I'll chat with you soon.
All right, Brian. Have a great one.
Josh Alper, and I say it again, I really appreciate anyone who makes themselves available during the holiday season because this is when Uncle Brian accumulates the funds to meet people far too young to be chatting with him. What's a glass of wine cost now in Beverly Hills? I'll crowdsource that. Let's say I don't know anybody, and I'm going to a high-end place because, after all, I'm on Pac-12 Network. Big game tonight, USC-UCLA, women's volleyball, working alone. One glass of Pinot Noir. The staff is paying attention because it's halftime. nil-nil, England and the United States? I'll throw it out there. The answer is $26. $26. Now, the answer is just buy a bottle and stay at home, but I don't have a drinking problem, right? I have a problem. I go out and see folks. How did I segue to that? Oh, making money. And you know how I save money? Well, I make my money working throughout the holidays. I save money by going, segue, to O'Reilly Auto Parts. Josh was so good. That's our huge call. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close. They're convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices. Excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Want to thank our guests. Just two today. Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. Chip Patterson, talking college football from CBSSports.com. Perfect timing. I can do play-by-play in my car driving home. England and the United States, nil-nil. Chances for the United States. They left some goals on the pitch. Felt like, from my expert point of view, want to thank all of the great people allowing me to sit in again. Primarily Jim Rome, Jim back on Monday, Craig Kitchen, Spike Eskin, David Mirnock, all of the fabulous folks at CBS Sports Radio, the XR4TI. They're awake because it's halftime in Qatar. Garrett Ritt, come fly with me. And Tom always does a marvelous job as the producer. I'll talk to you down the road. Jim is back on Monday on CBS Sports Radio.